A very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So, we have just finished our 1 hour of meditation. So now the next program is Q&A session, followed by review of meditation reporting. So this review of meditation reporting is very important. You can ask me any question you want regarding the meditation, and also how to apply the Dhamma in real life. Then all this review of the meditation reporting and Q&A is to develop the proper understanding of the cultivation, the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, and the meditation is taught by the Buddha. So you can ask me whatever question related to meditation or the teaching or how to apply this teaching in real life. Okay, now we open it up. Anybody want to ask any question or report your meditation? Anybody? Cannot be, after 1 hour you still don't have questions. Or do you all able to do it? The three support that I taught you all earlier on. Are you able to relax, maintain awareness, and stabilize the awareness? You all have to respond, otherwise what you expect me to do? Anybody? Bengling, pass the mic over.
Now the just learning the awareness meditation. So simply just aware.
First support is relax. Are you able to relax?
When I actually wanted to comes into this state, I relax, and I feel the relaxation in the sense that the facial, even the facial muscle, and my body muscle and all that like,
is it very tense?
Distressing. I don't feel the stress, but then
the tension that you have on your facial muscle and your other part of your body, initially there is tension inside there without you
initially I thought that is it, but then when the relaxing, then I feel that there's a relaxing of the tension.
Yeah, so
although earlier
that
I don't feel the tension, but then I gather that I able to be even more relaxed.
Definitely, because unless you develop the ability to be sensitive, you doesn't know that you have tension all over your body, especially your facial muscle. Do you realize most people seldom smile or radiate a radiant smile, happy smile? Why? Because they got problem inside. And when you have problem, you cannot relax. But the tension is there, you don't know. That's why it becomes stress. Then all this build up, that's why mind sweeping method is the same as relax and maintain awareness. When you go and develop the mind sweeping method, is to help you to sweep your mind from starting from the forehead down to your facial muscle, down to your neck, down to your heart, then stomach, abdomen, then your leg. And through this relaxation, because you sweep through, so what we taught you all is maintain attention at the forehead. Feel the forehead. Feel means you don't think. But when you feel, you will know whether there is tension or not. Because sometimes when there is tension or stress or what, your head there like very heavy. Not relaxed at all. So what you do is you relax into it. That's why. Feel, relax. Then feel it soothingly, relax. Then move it down to your facial muscle. Again, feel, relax. But most people cannot. So what I do is, I advise them, look into a mirror. Yeah? Or imagine that you are looking into a mirror. Then you radiate a radiant smile. So when you can radiate a radiant smile, means what? You have joy in the sun. You are happy. That's why that smile can arise. That is how you relax, understand? So radiating a radiant smile is like relaxation and maintaining awareness. Yeah, your mind state has been altered. You are no more holding on to those things that worry you, creating tension in you. Sometimes it can be due to career environment, family environment. The different, what they call, first noble truth reality conditioning. So a lot of people have stress, have tension. That's why they are not relaxed. That's why they become so stressful until they get heart attack and all those things. And all this is a result of not sensitive, not mindful, not understanding what is going on. So your starting, what they call exercise to relax, let you understand that you were initially having this tension and stress without you knowing. Then you realize as you relax that you don't know how to do the actual relaxation yet because you are new. So relax means you try to relax. So to me, to relax is like you want to rest, you want to sleep, and you want to rest, you relax. But instead of sleeping, you maintain awareness. Can you do it? This is what you need to do. So relax means 放松, anasana, at ease. Don't go and think of anything. Don't try to know. Don't do anything. Relax. Then maintain attention. Means allow the body to be in a natural state of relaxation without any stirring, reacting, or problem. Then when you do that, you realize the body relaxes by itself. When it relaxes by itself, you can feel the tension that has been building up all gone, no more. It's like when you want to rest, especially if you are tired. What you do after you are tired, after a game or whatever, exercise or what, then you want to rest. You will go through this phase, I remember. Ah, very tired. But, you just want to rest. No more thought, nothing. And then you have a good sleep. You rested. You recuperate. So relaxation, the difference between that and relaxation is we are doing meditation. We are not relaxed to sleep. We relax. And at the same time, maintain awareness. That is what awareness-based meditation is. So your beginning part, which you're able to experience it, you feel that you are more relaxed. The reason why is because you try and you may be able to do it. Then you can feel that your body starts to like relax and the tension is like less.
You feel lighter.
Yeah, lighter. You feel good. Yeah. No stress, you sure feel lighter. Then if you really know how to relax, you know what happens. You become like very, very liquid, like cotton. Everything relaxes. Then you become like cotton. You feel like no resistance at all. Everything just relaxes. Like when you radiate a radiant smile, there is joy, there is happiness, there is peace, tranquility, stillness. That is how you relax. And that relaxation can go in very deep. Sometimes you think you already very relaxed, but you continue, don't want to know, don't want to do, continue to relax and allow it to be, let things be, then you free your mind, your body entirely, and allow it to settle down. Then what happens is, it's like, we call it, you experience the, when you sleep on a soft bed, filled with cotton or whatever. What happens is, the weight of you will mold into the soft bed by itself, understand? There's no resistance. Then you just like fall into that shape, which is like buoyancy, like that, equanimity. Means that bodily weight and the soft cushion, actually they reach an equanimity. Means like the buoyancy force when you go into the water, push you up. Yeah, you are lighter than water. So that relaxation is like you feel very comfortable on a soft bed in a very relaxed manner. Then you don't do anything. Whatever happens, you flow with it, you move with it, you just maintain awareness. Then you relax, rest, you sleep very well. And that is the stages of relaxation that you will go into. Those who do yoga, they will also know. They are advised to relax. Relax means all of your yoga stunts that you want to do, you need to relax. Otherwise, you cannot go into that whatever stunt you want to do. So relaxation, unless you go through it, you cannot understand. Like your case you described, I can advise you, I can brief you, and lead you to the next stage of relaxation. So try the mind sweeping method and radiate a radiant smile. You find that you immediately settle down. Your tension in the face are gone. So when you can radiate a radiant smile, means what? You have joy, you have peace, you have happiness. That's why no more stress. Yeah. If you got problem, you cannot radiate a radiant smile. You will have anger, unhappiness, aversion inside. Okay? So this is one thing that I can advise you. So next time when you try, the relaxation must be very natural. Then just let it be. Whatever the body do, let it fall into its own place. Do not resist, do not interfere. Just let things be. Yeah. And everything that fall into place. Yeah. It's like when you want to rest, you just lie down and let it be. Then you will see the transition between a relaxed state, from that non-relaxed state into a relaxed state. So when you go through that, you will know. You yourself will have a lot of joy. We are the body that relaxes by itself with the mind that has the understanding actually created the condition for that relaxation to happen. And you feel so good, so good, that everything just falls into place. You try. No resistance at all. Everything that happens, just let it be. Let it be. But maintain awareness. Yeah. Then the more you do, the more relaxed you are. Then later on, you want to like make your relaxation deeper. You just do like, like you're very tired. When you're very tired, you let go of the whatever breath that you're holding. Just let it out. You feel very good. Then the relaxation will take its process. Then after that, a lot of things will happen. Your awareness will pick it up. Then you become very sensitive. The vibration, whatever, all the movement, activity inside, within your physical form and mind, you start to aware. Then you start to know that your awareness can be aware of a lot of things. Wherever, if you are sitting, your bodily contact with the cushion, you can be aware. Then your whatever activity, the movement, the blinking of the eye, the sloth, your backbone sloth, not straight, you will know. You are aware. Then after that, when your mindfulness develops more and more stable, then when you try to straighten your body, the awareness like become different. It magnifies. Like magnify into a big movement. That means your sati has started to build up. Otherwise, you cannot experience all those things. Okay. Yeah, sadhu. Then anything else that you want to ask or know apart from that experience? So the key thing is, can you relax? Check. If you cannot relax, no point. The rest is all theory. But you can relax. Find out what happens when you relax. Then how you maintain awareness. So initially, you don't know how to do it. What I advise you is, relax. Then if you snore, you are very tired, you want to sleep, go and sleep. Understand? So initially, you cannot maintain awareness. Because I think morning, if I'm not wrong, when I was lying down here meditating, somebody at the back there was snoring. I think very tired or what. Snore until I think lost awareness. Because when you have the awareness, you know what happens. When you snore, that one sound, before it finishes, your awareness pick it up. Then you become aware again. Then after a while, you relax, so sudhi, again the snore comes. Then one sound, no more. That is the progress you will start to develop. That's why don't worry about the body tired, want to rest and sleep. Let it sleep. But when you maintain awareness, at the moment it's small, you will pick it up. Because it is a vibration that is so loud to your hearing consciousness. That's why you can hear your own snoring. Then your body rests, sleep, your awareness is there. That's how it goes into the subconscious and release and develop the dream and all this. You will know, you will understand. And you will know what dreams are. Why this thought? Why the subconscious releases like that? Why you have nightmare, phobia and all that? That's why awareness allow you to be sensitive, to have that power and ability to understand all this. So hopefully, with this, more and more people will give it a try. So learn how to relax first. If you cannot relax, the mindfulness awareness cannot come. So relax. Don't try to know, don't try to do. Silent. Then let it happen. Then a lot of things will manifest. A lot of things will happen. Then you will experience the sudden shift in consciousness. From a mind that is very noisy, suddenly it becomes quiet. Then that quiet moment, all of a sudden like a shift, like you suddenly experience the quietness within. It's just like middle of the night when all the calm, the vibration, all no more. You experience that stillness of the night. And those who study late one, you will know. That's why my children, they like to study late at night because less of this disturbance from the traffic. Then sometimes you are in your house, when you off your window unit, your aircon, you realize the vibration suddenly gone. You feel the quietness. Well, before that, that vibration has been disturbing you and part of your consciousness, you doesn't realize. But the moment you off it, you will experience it. Then my computer also, your desktop, very noisy. So when I switch it off, again, suddenly the vibration gone, I experience the tranquility, the quiet, the stillness. So meditation is the same. When the shift of consciousness arise, when you know how to relax, you will experience all those things. You will come to understand. That's why I say self-knowledge comes from your mindfulness, awareness, not from your knowledge, your thinking. Okay? Yeah. Anybody else?
Huh?
Good. You use the mic for the benefit of those who are not here.
Hello. You've already answered my question now.
Yeah.
Because I find that when we lie down, we relax better.
Yes. Well, instead of crossing your leg, you create tension, understand not? At the point you fold your leg, the chi cannot flow. You don't know how to relax. But you know how to relax, like I tell you, I can sit for 3-4 hours, no problem. But you don't know how to relax.
But the risk is that there's a high tendency of dozing off.
Like, yeah, dozing off. Never mind. Where you knew, understand? Where you cannot maintain awareness, so you lapse into the sleep, then you heard your own snoring or not. You heard it then. There is a beginning. Sister Song also not early. I think she also heard her own snoring. So Jayanta, tired, snore, understand? Don't worry. People who don't understand, last time the Singapore Chia, first time he came after Song told him, he come to the class, he panic. First 1.5 days, he asked me so much questions. Then finally he revealed how he feel. Then he challenged me. The question all very, what they call, like point blank one. Understand? He not shy one. Then the way I answer him, he was so surprised. I got an answer to everything that he tried to corner me. Then after that, he tell me the truth. He said, "Brother, do you know, the first time I came, the first day, I was so confused. I was full of doubt." I said, "What type of meditation? Lying down, sleep, and he heard snoring everywhere." Because he was new, understand? At that time, most of them, they haven't maintained awareness. Yeah. So nowadays, you see those who know how to do, you don't hear them snore much. Even if they snore, one sound, they're aware of it. Yeah. Last time, Jin Hao also used to snore non-stop. They're so tired. Yeah. So this is the beginning, very good. Yeah. Relax, then. Yeah. Because you feel so good, so relaxed, the tendency is sleep. Snore, let it arise. And then you hurt, aware again. That's why the word maintain awareness. Every time that thing trigger, make you aware, you maintain awareness. Not long, you will become better and better, better. Then when you lie down with your legs straight, no cross-legged, no tension, no what they call constriction of qi flow, you feel that you are very relaxed. Understand? Yeah. That's why when you lie down and sleep, you are in the lying down posture, isn't it? That is very relaxing, isn't it? When you cross your leg without understanding, you constrict your qi. That's why the leg develop pain, numbness and all those problems. But you know how to sit and relax, that's why I was able to do it, because I sit until I know how to relax. Then I got no more problem with it. And I confront that pain through my mindfulness and awareness. Then it flashes through. Then from that moment onward, 1989, I got no problem with pain. It never come and haunt me anymore. So all these are the understanding. Yeah? Very good. Anything else? No more. Okay, good. Who else? Po Cheng. Pass the mic to Po Cheng. Yeah.
Amitabha, Brother Teo, Mr. Teo, and all Kalamitas. Brother Teo, I want to share something to give faith to all Kalamitas.
Good. Yes. Sadhu.
I earlier on told Mrs. Teo, I'm very, very grateful she offered me some carbon. So I had it for 2 days and I was able to relieve myself. So it helps me, but despite my stomach upset, I had a very good experience there. So this morning, I talk about this morning first, okay? This morning, I did the morning walking meditation. So because I cannot sit too long, because my gas is all bottled up in the abdomen, you know. So if I stand up, I release all out, you know what I mean? Be paisei to tell Brother Teo. Okay.
No problem.
No worries. But this experience helped me to develop my sati, Brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was doing walking meditation outside. Yeah. It was about 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
I think Brad, you asked us to do a half hour meditation.
Yes.
So I went out and do my walking meditation. And it was such a lovely day.
Yes.
So, how you call that? Nice weather, the breeze blowing.
Correct.
And I was walking nicely and mindfully walking, okay?
Relax, mindful walk.
Yes.
That is what you must do. At ease, be natural, relax, and just let things be. Then everything will harmonize. Then you are part of nature. Then your awareness is aware of all your activity, your movement, your kaya, then your mental observation. Then you are in a peaceful setting, conducive to develop this type of contemplative wisdom, born of relaxed, mindful walking. So as you walk, you relax and you develop contemplative understanding. You will, through your senses, perceive a lot of things, like the vibration within nature, the energy, the breeze, whatever. You can feel them, even the rain. All these vibrations, you will receive them. Then in the morning when you meditate, do you realize a lot of bird chirping? Insect sound? You cannot be aware of those things, means you are lost in thought. You think a lot. Then the flowing stream. A lot of vibration within nature. The setting is so beautiful. Then you just aware. Whatever that imprint your senses, you aware. But no need to say the word aware. It's the awareness that is aware. Like all these things that I use word to describe, the chipping of the bird or what, when you are aware of that vibration, of course when you perceive it, you know it's a chipping of the bird, but the sharp sound. And there are so many types of species and bird when you listen attentively. Even the rain has a lot of vibration everywhere. Then sometimes the bell, the phone ring, you can feel the wind, the breeze. The vibration, very sharp. So all this is what mindfulness and awareness is all about. It makes you sensitive. That's why when Po Chen went for a relaxed, mindful walk, she experienced all this. And that one actually helped her to develop the more stable daily mindfulness, to be aware in the midst of life. So all this is very good. Huh? You continue, Po Chen.
Yes, brother, you seem to know what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
So that is precisely what I was able to observe and aware of the environment, you know, the rushing of the water, you know, and the chirping of the birds.
The insect sound and all those things.
The wind chime.
The shrine. The insect sound and all
those things. So as I was walking, this is what I observe and hear and see, right? So I walk, Bradio. I gain my sati while walking. And then from the sati of the walking, the awareness surfaces in my heart.
Correct.
In my heart, Bradio.
Yes, you will stay there.
You stay there and I see my heart, Bradio.
Yeah.
So from there, the vibration of the heart appears and I observe, aware of the heart, right? It is just the vibration and the vibration. After that, what happened was the awareness come out from the body.
To
the outside.
Yes. Okay. It starts to move and merge through the environment.
Yes. Come out and then it goes around. And
it's like you are with everything.
Yes.
With the environment, with the oneness and all those things. So this is what awareness is all about.
Yes.
What is being described, you can only experience it when you have that type of awareness. Then you know how to do it. Very good.
So the awareness go to the surroundings.
Yeah.
And then in my mind, I was smiling. And the Kayamitas meditating in a shrine hall. Because I was looking at the shrine hall. From here, I see the shrine hall. But of course, I didn't see the people. I saw the window.
Correct.
And then I had a smile. I was very joyful. So after that, right, as I looked down, I saw Brother Chi Wei coming up. Then he has a radiant smile, you know, I smile back at him. And after that, we communicated.
Yeah.
And I told Brother Chi Wei, are you okay? He said, I'm very okay, fine, you know.
Because today is so much better.
Yes.
When he meditated, I can see the smile, the joy inside there.
Yeah.
Yesterday was full of suffering.
Really? But he was full of joy and happiness, you know.
No, yesterday the hindrance, drowsiness and all things started with the pain like he described. But today, completely different.
I saw him
sitting there, relaxed, joy, smile. If he can smile while he meditated, there is joy, there is tranquility, peace inside. Otherwise, it cannot be like that.
Yeah. And he was full of energy, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I tapped his shoulder. I said, you'll be all right, right? You don't need any help, right? Then he said, no, I'm very fine. And then I said, you be careful while walking up the staircase. So he hold the handrail and he walked up.
Yeah.
And then he saw the dog, you know, wagging his tail and his head, and enjoying himself with the dog, you know.
Mm.
Then after that, I walked down. So it was so beautiful, you know,
up to there.
And then after that, of course, there are a lot more Kayamitas outside,
walking around
and enjoying the peace and tranquility of the environment around, you know.
The nature within the vicinity of this temple.
So I was full of joy, you know, from yesterday and today. This is my sharing, part one. But the part two, I think I let another person have the
can. No problem.
I will share tomorrow.
Yes, can. Thank you. Let us rejoice.
Sadhu.
Okay, we have to continue with our sutta class already, otherwise we won't end. Okay, now we get Tammy to continue. Heart Sutta, chapter 3, third Heart Sutta class.
Page 19, Third Heart Sutta Class, Part 1. Recap and emphasis on the previous lesson, 1.1. One must go through the introduction by Master Xuan Hua. Question 1. Why must we go through the introduction by Master Xuan Hua instead of going into the Heart Sutra teaching direct? Brother Chiu replied, a very good question. It will be like building a high-rise building without having a stable foundation. As I have explained, the Heart Sutra is a very profound teaching, and it must be understood that without a proper foundation being taught to you, it is almost near to impossible to understand this teaching. Unless some of you have had some very strong past cultivation to help support you in the understanding of this sutra. Hence, this is the reason why I started off by introducing to you the final summary of the First Noble Truth of Dukkha, followed by an in-depth explanation of the meaning of the two aspects of the five aggregates of form and mind in the first Heart Sutra class. This is to help establish a basis for you to understand the great similarity between Sakyamuni Buddha teaching and that of the Heart Sutra as expounded by Guan Yin Bodhisattva. Both teachers emphasize on importance of understanding the five aggregates of form and mind and why they are all empty, that is anatta and sunyata. The introduction by Master Xuan Hua also explained how wonderful and full of wisdom this sutra is, and also why it is so important to read through this sutra diligently many times, because each repetition will reveal to the reader a new depth or a new level of understanding, thus bringing about immeasurable benefits. In a book 10 times its length, one could not fully praise its value as a key to the understanding of human life. Hence the famous saying, true emptiness is wonderful existence. That is, understanding true emptiness can lead to deep understanding of human life. Hence, life or existence will become a very meaningful and very wonderful once this Heart Sutra wisdom has been developed. Page 20. Master Shenhua also stressed on the importance of having real spiritual understanding rather than deep learning or knowledge-based understanding, only as a true prerequisite for expounding this Heart Sutra. The main concern of Heart Sutra and all the other sutras that the Buddha had spoken is simply to understand deeply the birth, life, and death of living beings. Answering questions like, why must we avoid all evil, do good, and purify our mind? Why are we born and where will we go when we die? What we must do while here, how we can stop our suffering and find true happiness for ourselves and others. What is death? What dies and who dies? Who are you and what are you? What is life? How to understand its meaning and purpose?
So these are the inquiry that you need to ask yourself, so that you can develop the clear understanding. And with awareness-based meditation, all this become possible. Okay, read on.
1.2. Why must we also study the Six Patriarch Platform Sutra? Question 2. Why must we also study the Six Patriarch Platform Sutra? Brother Teo replied, as the Heart Sutra teaching is so profound because it is beyond thought, beyond mind, and beyond the conditioned world. Hence, we need to understand the Six Patriarchs Platform Sutra, especially so, the two famous poems as written by Shen Xiu and Hui Neng. Only then can we develop the understanding to go beyond mind, to understand the Heart Sutra, which is so abstract, with saying like form is emptiness and emptiness is form, and therefore in true emptiness, there is no form, feeling, etc. No eyes, ears, no sight, sound, no feel of eyes, up to and including no feels of mind consciousness, no ignorance or ending of ignorance, up to and including no old age, sickness and death, or ending of it, and no four noble truths, and no understanding and no attaining, etc. 1.3. Six Patriarch Platform Sutra. Based on his poem then, Shen Xiu has yet to realize the true mind, hence his inability to comprehend the higher Dhamma as realized by Hui Neng. The reason being he is using the mundane mind to cultivate, hence delusion. In my second and third Heart Sutra classes recap, I delved in more detail into Hui Neng Platform Sutra, and I also taught you how to see form, the unreality of form, its condition arising or impermanent nature, and its non-self and empty nature, so as to enable you to develop the wisdom to finally see beyond form. This is then followed by the same understanding that all the other four aggregates of mind, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnana, are also impermanent, causes suffering, and are empty. Only then can you start to develop the understanding of why form is emptiness and emptiness is form. 1.4. Mundane life with and without spiritual understanding. We can be very successful in life, both financially and career-wise, both are mundane aspects of life, but without the spiritual understanding, we are still vulnerable and many things can still afflict us, especially so the First Noble Truth, Eight Conditions, which are also the realities of life and existence. This is the reason why the Buddha renounced the world. Once he saw the four signs of an old man, a very sick man, a dead man, and a samana, or a renounced holy man in robe. The then Buddha to be realized that he had a problem with regards to old age, sickness, and death. Hence, he seeks the spiritual understanding to gain the wisdom to free himself from these problems. He then developed the spiritual understanding and became a Sammasambuddha underneath the Bodhi tree without the true spiritual understanding or wisdom. One cannot be free from all suffering because one can still have fear, worry, anxiety, etc. via one's own self-delusion, which will condition one to cling on to and grasp at one's five aggregates of form and mind. Hence, one should realize the importance of cultivating the spiritual understanding via meditation as taught by the Buddha to enable one to live the noble life of love, peace, joy, and harmony. Only then can there be no more fear, worries, anxieties, unhappiness, and suffering, etc. The spiritual understanding will lead to non-delusion and wisdom, enabling one to clearly understand who you are, what you are, and how human beings function, and eventually leading to enlightenment in the here and the now. 1.5. Essential understanding. In the recap, Brother Teo emphasized on the following. 1. The importance of understanding Dhammapada verses 1, 2, 183, 21, 22, and 23, and the final advice of the Buddha before his parinibbana. Once one comprehends these verses, one will understand the importance of training the mind to be heedful and ever mindful. One will like wake up from their deluded dream state, thus seeing the danger of heedlessness, and one will then be very serious about life to develop the cultivation. 2. The danger of letting these three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, which are the roots of all evil, from manifesting in our hearts. 3. The importance of arising the four right efforts to root out the three evil roots and the five mental hindrances. 4. The importance of cultivating the five spiritual faculties to overcome the five mental hindrances and mind. Note 1. Under Kaya Nupasana, there is a category of cultivation called Sati Sampajanya, mindfulness, and the four types of clear comprehension of every action and movement in the present moment. This is the most important cultivation. It can help stabilize one's sati or mindfulness by the daily mindfulness cultivation. Hence, this is the reason why Brother Teo always says, life itself is the real meditation, and life is our true teacher. 2. The four types of clear comprehensions are clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose, clear comprehension of domain of meditation, clear comprehension of suitability, and clear comprehension of non-delusion. The domains of meditation means one can meditate in any posture, anywhere, any place, at any time, under any circumstances. 4. Anything external form that is created by the mind, via perception, is only a mental image. It comes and it goes. Hence, it is impermanent, not so real and empty. To cling onto it is obviously a delusion. Form is never a problem if we know how to develop the mind to understand it. so that we are not deluded or deceived by it. 5. Cultivating the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, as taught by the Buddha, leading to the three types of corresponding wisdom called Suttamayapanya, Cittamayapanya, and Bhavanamayapanya, is very important. For details, please refer to Brother Teo's Dharma Notes on Understanding the Meditation as taught by the Buddha.
Okay, very good. So all this that Tammy has just read, we have already gone through. Eh? So we'll continue chapter 4. Fourth Heart Sutta class.
Page 23, Fourth Heart Sutta Notes. Part 1, Recapitulation 1.1. Emphasis on the previous lesson, emptiness. 1. Emptiness, or sunyata in Pali, is a term frequently used in the Mahayana tradition verse. The term non-self, or anatta in Pali, which is the equivalent term that is frequently used in the Theravada tradition. 2. Importance of understanding why our physical form and all external form can also be expressed as form is impermanent, brings about suffering. When we deludedly cling onto it without understanding, and its empty or anatta nature. To understand it clearly, we must have the ability to see its manifestation via mind's perception with clear mindfulness to recognize it as conditioned arising phenomena. Hence, it is not a permanent unchanging entity that we can cling onto or hold onto as the I and the me, or own as the mind, thus seeing it as empty, sunyata, or anatta, because it has no apparent reality. Also, a cultivator needs to develop the wisdom to understand why form is external manifestation of mind via a clear and stable daily mindfulness cultivation. 3. Form delusion can be very powerful. Hence, if you can't see form, you can't see mind, because form is much grosser, whereas mind is very subtle. However, with wisdom born of the direct seeing, form and mind delusion will cease to be, leading to enlightenment in the here and the now. 4. Definition of samana. A samana is a renowned holy person in the robe seriously cultivating the Buddha Dharma as taught by the Buddha. He or she is also usually referred to as one who is already enlightened. The term is used as opposed to the other term Brahmin, who studied the Vedas during the time of Sakyamuni Buddha. Page 24. To a samana, spiritual understanding is very important, because without spiritual understanding, one cannot be free. One cannot understand the problems and realities of life and existence. This is a recently printed Dharma book for free distribution by Wave, and the title of the book is Samana, on the life of the late Rangta Mahabhoa. Our Kalayamita Fund has also donated towards this printing for free distribution. Hence, we were given some copies of these books for free distribution by Wave, and anyone who is interested in having a copy can request it from Brother Teo. 1.2. Essential understanding. In the recap, Brother Teo, we emphasize on the following important Dhamma. 1. The importance of understanding true emptiness is wonderful existence, leading to our ability to live life meaningfully and to the fullest. 2. True blessing comes from your own cultivation via karmic inheritance and nothing else. That is not due to your luck, feng shui, etc. 3. the importance of cultivating a very stable sati of mindfulness leading to heedfulness or appamada throughout the day. 4. Importance of repentance and asking for forgiveness sincerely. When you forgive someone, you actually free yourself from the evil roots of anger, hatred and delusion. Part 2. Heart Sutra Lesson 4. Introduction 1, page 10 to 12 of Master Xuanhua's commentary. 2.1. Master Xuanhua's very unique birth and life history. On Guanyin Bodhisattva birthday, the master dreamt that an old woman wearing a patchwork robe and a string of beads appeared to guide him. This unique birth and life history of Master Xuanhua provided the condition for Brother Teo to also share a bit of his unique spiritual affinities and encounters with Guanyin Bodhisattva in his early years of cultivation, 1986, and the details are as described by him during the sharing on that day. For details, please refer to web link or 16 GB USD that contain the recording as produced by Brother Xian. In 1986, Brother Teo and his whole family took refuge under Master Xuanhua, and apart from taking the 5 precepts, the other condition is to finish the 10,000 bows of reciting homage to thee, my original teacher, Namo Sakyamuni Buddha. Within 3 months, Brother Teo completed it within less than 2 months. According to Brother Teo, this bowing is done mindfully and with very strong sadha of faith and virya, or the spiritual zeal, can lead one to a very stable daily mindfulness very quickly.
Yeah, this one is very true. Eh? This one, I did it in 1986. Then after that, I met my the other teacher, the Thai teacher, Ajayantra, almost the same time. So all this developed into the special condition for me to pick up the daily mindfulness. So this daily mindfulness, you see, for Xuanhua, to him, the bowing is very important. So what he taught us was to be his disciple or take refuge under him, you had to finish out the 10,000 bow within 3 months maximum. So what I state here is the English translation. What we develop and do is the Mandarin Mahayana version. He always gave rise to this name for Sakyamuni Buddha. He said, Namo Ben Si Si Jiamuni Fo, means homage to the original teacher, Sakyamuni Buddha. Yeah. We are his lineage, Xu Yun, or the patriarchship, come from Sakyamuni Buddha's lineage. That's why he will recite, Namo Ben Si Si Jiamuni Fo. So every time I recite, I bow mindfully, recite, bow mindfully. And I remember that time I do it until the body and mind move as one, until the sati came. Then I realize something is different. How come now my bowing is like spontaneous, without thought, and everything is perfectly in harmony and synchrony with my body? So my body, when it arises, the awareness is with it. When it recites and bow, the body and mind and the awareness is with it. Then until like, I suddenly realize that my sati has become continuous. Then everything I do, that movement, it's like slow motion. Of course, no sound. I always say ta 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 ta. It's like everything falls into place. Then after that I finish, I come out, I realize all my movement activity is all in sati. That's why the bowing help a lot. But you have to be patient. I realize there are some karamita who try, but I don't know whether they got it or not. Last time I remember Jin Hao asked me, I taught him. So it depends on your understanding. If you have faith and you do it, you will develop the mindfulness, the awareness. Okay? So you can read on.
Page 25, 2.2. Is bowing another technique to develop mindfulness? Question 1. Is bowing another technique to develop mindfulness that is similar to sitting meditation? The understanding of it is very important. There is not much meaning to your cultivation if you just follow instructions without understanding. You must understand why you bow and what you are doing in the name of meditation. That is, do not just follow the instruction to do certain things via any method or technique, etc., thinking that when you are doing all that, then you are meditating. The real meditation as taught by the Buddha cannot begin unless one has developed the mind, the training of the mind to be heedful with sati or mindfulness within. The various objects of meditation used in conjunction with the various methods and techniques of meditation are only initial skillful means used to train the mind so that it is not heedlessly lost in thought most of the time. The main purpose of the object of meditation is to anchor the mind to it so that one is always in a moment, in the moment, mindful and aware of the object of meditation without thought. Once this training is done, the trained mind will be silent, without thought, with awareness within. And such a mind is in the meditative state, to see things as they are, without any concepts, ideas, or words.
Means direct seeing, not mundane seeing. Mundane seeing, the perception, the words, the concept, the idea, the views, opinion, all come out. This one is the silent mind, to awareness, the direct seeing, without word, without concept. You see things as they are. Okay.
When the above is understood, then any method or technique can also be used to train the mind to be heedful initially, but finally, we need to develop the ultimate meditative mind with silent inner awareness, where the mind must have no dwelling, as per the Diamond Sutra. Then one must let go of the meditation object and silence one's mind to develop the more refined mindfulness within. It is just like swimming. The float is just like an initial skillful means, object of meditation, to help keep one afloat. And as long as one still holds on to the float, then one will never understand the actual swimming. Because to swim with the float and without the float are two totally different experiences.
So this one you understand, huh? When you swim with a float, you are being assisted. And that is not the real understanding of swimming. Without the float, when you can swim, that is the real understanding. And the key understanding is, you are lighter than water. Your true physical body is lighter than water because of your lung space inside there with the air. So when you go into the water, you have faith and the understanding, you just let it sink down. Like when you relax, you just let your physical body settle down by itself. So like the buoyancy, you let it sink down. Then when it reaches a certain depth, the buoyancy force, which is equivalent to the volume of water, the mass of the volume of water displayed by your body, that buoyancy force will push it up. Where that buoyancy force is actually higher than your bodily weight. So the upthrust, Archimedes principle they call it. So that is your buoyancy force, the upthrust, push you up. So when it pushes you up, you realize your body is lighter than water. The natural state is buoyancy. Means I don't have to do anything. I'm in that natural state of buoyancy, you understand? Then to swim, what must I do? I only move my hand and leg, understand? That is understanding swimming. Otherwise, you don't know that your body is lighter than water. This principle of Archimedes' principle of buoyancy. Then what you do? As you step into the swimming pool or into the river, every step you take, you sink down, understand? It's like you cannot float. So when you want to swim, you think you must struggle to float, to maintain buoyancy. So when you struggle, you are actually being deluded. You lost your ability to float. So that struggling takes away a lot of strength, energy, stress. That's why that freestyle swimming without understanding buoyancy consume a lot of energy. But when you understand, swimming become very natural, very simple, like your meditation. If you know that the natural state of mind is already the meditative mind, tranquility, stillness, then why do you go and struggle and meditate with the thought base and create all the thinking inside there? You just relax and maintain awareness and let that mind, which is the mundane mind that stir and react with all the mind state, return to its original state. You understand? By not doing anything, that mind will return to its original state. Where you don't create delusion, wrong view, you don't stir. The mind state that arises, your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, insecurity, cannot arise. Where you don't give it any condition to arise. So swimming is the same. When I know buoyancy, I relax, maintain the faith that it will float, then I experience it, it float. So like this one, the four support, I say relax, yeah, like in the swimming, then maintain awareness, then it will arise. Then you will understand what the awareness is. It's the same. So when the upthrust push you out, then you realize that is the truth. That's why all those who know how to swim say, no need to struggle. Just go in and relax, and the buoyancy will be there, then just move. So meditation is the same. Your true mind, the original mind, before the stirring, is already the tranquil, silent mind. Stillness, your true mind. So if you understand that, then what is meditation? No need to do anything. Don't stir your mind. Just let it settle down and return to its original state before your mind stir, create all the fear, worry, anxiety, the mind state, before all the sankhara thing went in. So when there is pure awareness without thought, without the content, then you become the true mind. Understand? So it's like buoyancy. When that thing float up, you become in the state of buoyancy. You can float without doing anything. You can realize your true mind, the awareness nature, sati, without doing anything. That's why don't try to know, don't try to do. Just relax and let the mind settle down. Let all the sankhara slow down. Yeah. Then the true mind will surface. Yeah, Pochek. The mic, pass to Poche.
Swimming is a very interesting subject that
I talk about.
Because swimming, I had not been swimming for a long time, right? I think I shared this before. So during the COVID 2020, the last time I swim was 2019.
Yeah.
So 2020 to 2022, I actually never swim because of COVID.
Yeah.
But once they had released, opened up the lockdown, so I started swimming. So I started swimming that, and in 2020 I started developing
fitness
also. So from my experience of this swimming, right, I mentioned before that this swimming actually helped me to speed up my fatigue development. So because as Raju said, right, the swimming is extremely relaxing. Actually,
Very relaxing.
I swim is to relax. So in doing that, right, I developed a very strong mindfulness. And out of that, I see a lot of things that I never see before. You know, and that part I think I shared before. But what I want to say here is the swimming, if anybody in this group actually knows swimming, the swimming really helps you to speed up your mindfulness. And go and try it.
Because when you understand the concept behind the swimming, then you no longer deluded. You don't struggle to keep yourself afloat. Because your natural state is buoyancy. Like your true mind is already the meditative mind. Why must you go and create all the stirring of mind and the thought process to make it become otherwise? So no need to do all those things.
Okay, for me, I want to emphasize this because this is from my experience. Because when you swim, right, there is no thinking. So it's just aware of your movement.
Yeah.
So after you do for a while, the sati feels up, you know, the sati feels up. So you should try that. That is really, really good. No thinking.
It's just like walking. When your bodily movement, the body and mind move as one. The awareness and the movement become one. Do you know what happened? You are in the state of sati. No resistance. You walk like no need energy. You keep on moving.
Because radio, the heedless people will continue thinking while walking.
Yeah, the resistance.
Yes.
So they cannot harmonize.
Correct.
So the body and mind has a lot of resistance.
But swimming cannot do that. Swimming, you do that, you will sing, you know. So that is where it will help you. You cannot think at all. You have to just swim, relax. Then you will see the sati building up. But walking up, because human being has been heedless for a long time, so continue to think heedlessly, you know. So you will not develop your sati. So that swimming is really, really helpful. I mean, I just want to emphasize that. If you know how to swim, go ahead and do it. Okay?
Yeah, sadhu. Thank you. Okay, continue. Tammy. Yeah.
Page 26. Bowing or reverential salutation is one of the 10 meritorious actions, and it is a very important virtue that comes with so many benefits and advantages. It is part of the opening and closing puja or devotional practices as recommended by the Buddha to help one establish the faith or sadha in the Buddha and his teaching, followed by the spiritual zeal or virya and the development of sati or mindfulness, which is the third spiritual faculty. One can then bow mindfully and with understanding via a composed mind with strong sadha and virya. Bowing is not idol worshipping, but instead it is reverential salutation done out of great respect and gratitude for someone who has taught us so well, like the Buddha, who is the fully enlightened one, perfect in wisdom and virtues. Seeing it is a meritorious action, the field of merits in is immeasurable if it is done with understanding to the worthy or enlightened ones. Such merits can be made use of to arise the causes and conditions for us to progress quickly along the path of Dhamma via invoking the power of merits.
So this one you all know, we always chant the closing puja. The Buddha always recommend it mean punya kamena, means by the power of this punya, this merit, may arise the causes and conditions for us to avoid the foolish and the heedless so that Nibbana can be realized soon as possible. That's why we chanted Imina Punyang Kamina Mame Bala Samagamo Satang Samagamo Hotu Yava Nibbana Patiya, so that Nibbana can be realized soon as possible. So that is why bowing is very beautiful and very useful.
Apart from helping us to develop the spiritual faculties of Sada, Viriya and Sati, bowing can also help us to cultivate humility and help exercise our body while establishing ourselves in mindfulness training. Also, according to the Buddha, four things grow if we pay respect sincerely to our elders and worthy ones. The four things are Ayu, Vano, Sukang, and Balang.
Their
meaning are Ayu, long life, Vano, fair complexion, Sukang, happiness, and Balang, strength, both spiritual and physical. All these four blessings are very important for having the good life.
So now you look at the explanation. Just one simple exercise, bowing, has so much benefits. So it's very clear when you develop the faith, the understanding, and when you do the bowing, you not only develop the spiritual faculty of Sada, Viriya, and Sati. Bowing can also help us develop humility. Understand? You understand? If you can bow, means you have humility. Otherwise, I tell you, it's not easy. A lot of people, they think they are university graduate, they have PhD, master, or Dato' Tan Sri. You ask them to bow in the temple, chances are they can't, because they have the ego. Why should I bow to you? Who are you? So this understanding actually helps us. When we develop humility, to us, the reverential salutation is a meritorious action. This is basic understanding, basic virtue, meritorious action. Gratitude towards someone, we pay respect, reverential salutation. Where the Buddha has taught us so well, he is a fully enlightened one, the most virtuous and wisest living being ever to be one. So all this understanding can help us cultivate this bowing. And bowing is very important. When you bow, you exercise your body and mind, do you realize? You cultivate mindfulness. That's why Mahayana, do you realize what they do or not? They're morning chanting, evening chanting. They bow a lot, understand not? They walk also around for, and at the same time, they bow. But theirs is the Mahayana tradition, the full body go down, understand not? Whereas the Theravada one is the 5-point prostrate, prostration. No. Prostration. How to pronounce? Prostration. Prostration. I always cannot remember that word, prostration. The 3-step one bow is different. That one Mahayana do one. That one the full bowing one. They actually go down to the floor one. Like the one they do in India. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, what's it?
Yeah, what I wanted to say is the three step one bow. Yes, it's a Mahayana practice, especially for Vaisakha. So yeah. I actually did that first time in 2016 at Koming San. So that is the first time actually, Brother Teo, I developed mindfulness without knowing I developed mindfulness.
Sadhu, very good.
Okay. So that time I just started learning Buddha Dhamma, but I was encouraged, I mean the whole class is encouraged
to do the
3-step one bow. And at that time the teacher said, just do, don't try to know anything and don't think about anything. You just do the bowing mindfully and respectfully. You do it for the triple gem, you know.
And
I did that, Brother Teo, for 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Oh, good.
3-step one bow. At 12 midnight, after 12 midnight.
Oh, okay.
That was actually the Vaisakha day itself.
Yeah.
But it's very cooling and very nice to do at night.
Actually, you know, when you do that, it's like you're developing mindfulness training for 2.5 hours. You know, that type of faith and doing is very, very beneficial. You will progress. That's why he said there's a deep come. Xuanhua started it actually. Yeah, Heng Shui. But actually Xuanhua started it. He followed Xuanhua. Xuanhua did the 3-step one bow. Yeah.
So I did that, developing the sati without knowing it's sati radio. It's after I come to 2017 retreat Cameron Highland, when I share with Brother Teo, then Brother Teo explained 2017 to me, you know.
Then
I realized that it's sati
radio. That is sati. Yeah,
Brother Teo, thank you, Brother Teo, for sadhu. Your sharing.
Very good. Then the other thing about bowing is when you pay respect to the elders and enlightened one, or what do you want? Four things grow. That is spoken by Sakyamuni Buddha. That's why every time you go to the monk, you offer dana or what, then they will do the what they call chanting to give you blessing and other things. Then finally, when they end, they always bless you with ayu, sukha, palang, and so on. And these are the four virtues that you need to have the good life. Ayuk is long life. Yeah. Wana is fair complexion. Yeah. Sukang is happiness. You need sukang. You need it to be happy, to be joyful. Palang is strength. Spiritual and physical strength. You must have strength in your mind state. You must have strength in whatever you do to develop the progress and all those things. So ayu, sukang, palang, they are very beautiful. Ayu, wana, sukang, palang. So that will cover the bowing. Now then the question, maybe I read this one. Can you show me how to do the bowing? A lot of people ask me this. Is it the Theravada tradition of five-point prostration, or the Mahayana way of standing up, then going down to prostrate and come up again? So I answer him. I say, whichever way that suits you more, use it. Fair enough, not? Everyone is different, isn't it? The most important thing is, when you bow, what is the sentence that follows? Are you following the book? Do it what?
Mindfully.
The key word is mindfully. With what?
Very strong
faith and virya, sada and virya. And do it with proper understanding. Understand? Always remember, one can only do one thing at a time. That is, when you are mindful, with the movement in silent awareness without thought, or you are lost in thought, hence heedless. Bowing mindfully means body and mind move as one. Understand this keyword, huh? Body and mind move as one, in harmony without thought. When the mind is composed and without the five mental hindrance, mindfulness will be there naturally, where there is nothing to hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. So develop the faith, compose the mind, then chant the salutation to Sakyamuni Buddha, then bow mindfully to develop the sati or mindfulness within. After a while, if you are sincere, patient, and doing it with understanding, then it can bring about the condition for sati or mindfulness to arise. Mindfulness arises through understanding and perseverance. And when mindfulness is firmly established, there will be so much joy. You heard Po Ching mention, so much joy. Peaceful, mindful walk can give you so much joy. The mind is so silent, so light. All those who experience it, like you feel very light, so composed, so still, yet fully aware within throughout the day. In every movement and every action, there is much clarity and awareness within the heart. See? Away from the heart. It then starts to see things as they are, and the direct knowledge and vision of the reality keep on arising. Then you understand things that are there all this while. Example is three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta, etc., which normal living being never see, suddenly become clear to you. This is the reason why Bratia always said to us, truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. This one I shared with you already. So when you want to do the bowing, I show you now. You just relax, maintain awareness, then develop the awareness of every action, every movement within the present moment. Then when your heart is already in the state of sadha virya, then you mindfully bow, means body and mind move as one. Don't try to know, don't worry whether sati is there or not, you just do. Do until one day, all of a sudden, the body and mind move as one. Then the form and mind that does it and realize that will understand what sati is. No word on. So I always do like that. I maybe without the mind easier.
So when I compose my mind, I will start now. Then when I start, then I decide to now.
You keep on doing the bowing until the body and mind become one. Then you will understand what sati is. You must do until the sati arises. Walking is the same. Chanting is the same. Anapanasati is the same. When you realize sati, when you do anapanasati, when you are truly mindful of the in and out breath, there is no thought. There is no thought involvement to resist the breathing, like long breath or short breath, like you try to force it. No, it becomes very natural. The breathing in and breathing out become very natural. And because it's very natural, the mindfulness and the movement become one. You can only achieve that when your mind enters the deep. Do you understand? That's why just do, don't try to know. Like you play badminton. Initially, you're very clumsy, right? Shuttlecock also cannot hit it, right? You understand? But through patience, diligence, you train, what happens? You improve, right? Then you start to learn how to flick. Then develop more ability to mindfully control your shuttlecock. So those who are very skillful means they have trained themselves until they don't think. Spontaneously they will do. Like when they serve, spontaneously, you go, you flick. Then you want to send baseline, you will go baseline. You already very conversant, trained very well. That is what sati is. When you become very skillful, you have sati, understand not? That's why you see all those who do all the skating or whatever very gracefully, they have sati. Those who are good in certain type of sport, they all have sati. But they don't have the understanding, that's why there is no samasati, understand not? Their sati is only to help them to develop the ability to be graceful. But actually, sati help you to save energy, understand? When you are very mindful, you consume very little energy. Then that mindfulness and awareness give them the clarity, understand? They do not panic, worry and all that. But when they are too tired, they cannot maintain that mindfulness or the awareness. Then they start to make mistakes, understand? Then they cannot gauge how they are, what they call the shot, when they return. You observe those playing badminton recently. Yeah, it's very competitive, all the world championship. I realize they really go all out to win. And everyone is very competitive. So what happens is, when they go into rubber set, they are very tired. Then towards the end, you can know, those who train very well, they can maintain that stroke, that skill, and finally emerge the winner. But those who don't have enough training and what they call understanding or have not persevered and trained well enough, towards the end, they are no longer so skillful. They lost their energy level and their mindfulness, they start to make mistakes. Means when they lob or when they send the shuttlecock to somewhere, they always miss by a bit, understand? Didn't cross the net. And sometimes smash also into the net. Why? Because the training not enough. But for us, who develop this mindfulness, when this mindfulness has become a part of you, everything you do is aware. But we don't go for competitive, you call it games. You don't have to do that, understand? You just live your life. That's why you are ever mindful, constantly meditating. Your mind is always in that state. I remember last time Yun Chan asked me, when I started coming out to share and teach, he will come and tell me, Batu, you are so good in your Dhamma. Why not you join retreat? You will progress very fast. Then I don't know how to answer her. Well, my mundane mind already collect, my awareness need to shine for it. I no need to practice and train and do all those things. But she cannot understand. And I cannot tell her because she will not understand. And she will get a shock of her life, I tell her. So I said, never mind, you all go ahead. Then later on only he know when I start teaching meditation. Then he realized, oh, no wonder but they don't go for a retreat and all things. Yeah, he conduct retreat. Because I say during the early days, before 1989, I also went for retreat, sometimes 5 days, sometimes 3 days or whatever. I think the longest one is 7 days, if I'm not mistaken. I never go for a long retreat, but 5 days is enough. Because I realize I can settle down very fast. After the first day or half a day, I settle down. Then later on, when I develop the understanding, when my mindfulness comes, I no need to settle down. In whatever posture I am without thought, aware. That's why when I teach and I share, you think I think. My nature share, understand not? Straight from the heart. Whatever it understands from this understanding, it share. I don't go and recall through memory, knowledge. Hey, what is this? Last time I teach like that. Now, I try to recall. If I do that, I cannot teach you. But that is not spontaneous. Not the direct, straight from the heart one. That one is based on knowledge. And that one, most of them, I can tell you, right? You don't believe me, you will find out. They need notes, understand? They need to refer to a lot of things when they share. Then they try to like recall memory. I think when I ask questions, some of the Kayamita, that day who was it? That one very good example. Who was it? Somebody is standing here. I ask him what is the five aggregate of form and mind. Then he tried to recall through knowledge, through memory. Oh, sorry, in my house. Han, the sister. He said she already know the Dhamma, everything. But when I asked a specific question, because the sister came before the retreat, actually is to meet up with me, pay respect. Then it so happened benefited her. Po Cheng was so full of joy, he said, "Oh, Bertil, today very good. What you give my sister is what she need." Because she cannot understand. So when I explained to him the five aggregate of form and mind, the two aspects, I asked him, "Do you understand?" She like didn't completely say she understand or she understand. Yeah. Then I said, "Okay, to test you to find out what is the five aggregate of form and mind." You know what happened? He got to think. Yeah. Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sangara, Vinaya. Slowly, one by one. Sometimes the five cannot come out. See? Memory, knowledge, understand. The first aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. Cannot tell me. As a human being, heard so many times, cannot tell me. Understand? Then I have to explain again. Yeah. Simple Dhamma like that, if you memorize through knowledge, you don't have the direct seeing, the understanding, you cannot actually reply or share or develop the understanding to explain, to answer. So this is very common, not only Han, a lot of people are that. I remember last time Beng Lim also asked me something. Those who come and see, when I ask back, oh yeah, I think, was it Joey or her? You and her both come out with it. You are Tracy or Jennifer. You are Jennifer. Was it you or what? I forgot if they asked me. Then I asked them back, cannot answer. Xiu Ping cannot answer that. So, because not sure, understand? And you cannot blame them because they learn it, the traditional Theravada way, understand? This is Dhamma knowledge. Not with the awareness one, with the thought. And the thought through memory, understand? They think that when they know this teaching, the Dhamma, they must commit to memory. Then when people ask, they will try to retrieve from memory. And do you know, in the early day when I share all this with the Kayamita, you know what they tell me or not? Every time they encounter problem, what did Brother Teo say? They try to recall to memory. Then somebody he thinks is smart, no, is it? Brother Tio, every time tell us, let things be la, don't keep bo la. He go interpret me like that, no? He doesn't know what I mean by let things be, you know. He said, why you so keep bo? He suffer, let him suffer la. That is not let things be, understand, no? Let things be means when there is no condition to act. Don't act, don't do anything, and accord and flow. He go interpret as, Brahati already say ma, let things be ma, why you do all this? I say, please, don't quote me. You remember? I always say, don't quote me. Why? Because when you don't have the understanding, you quote me, you sure get into trouble. You not only get yourself into trouble, you get me into trouble also. You say, Brother Tio, say. You want authority to challenge and argue. Luckily, I won them. So far, after 2004 until now, 19 years, coming to 20 years. Luckily, touch wood, nobody come and confront me, challenge me. So far, so good. Miss Kayamita now understand, they don't quote me. My advice to them is, if they want to learn, they want to understand, just tell them, you attend Brother Dale's class. Yeah. Then you listen for yourself. Yeah. He has three conditions. Open mind, understand, no right, no wrong. If it benefit you, use it. Then we respect each other for what we understand. So, with these three conditions, we don't need to argue about right and wrong. We share our understanding. And this is better, isn't it? That's why I call it Dhamma sharing. I don't call it a Dhamma talk, one-way traffic. So all these are the understanding that one develops when you have developed the true understanding of the Dhamma. Then you know how to avoid unnecessary misunderstanding, conflict and all these things. So what I try to share with you is, if you learn it through knowledge, thought-based, you will have that problem. You every time try to recall to memory. I saw so many. And they said, you don't believe me, you go and find out yourself. You go and ask anybody. After you learn this, when you understand already, you go and ask. They tell you, they cannot answer you. They beat around the bush. They try to, let go la. Oh, slide, yeah. So the slide guide them. So read from the slide, explain from the slide. But sometimes slide is important because you don't want to commit to memory, understand? So they will use slide, understand? But I don't know. So far I never use slide, I always write on the whiteboard. I go as JBA give talk, you ask NB. The whole whiteboard I write until full. And he always commented, Brettio, wow, you really fantastic. Within 1.5 to 2 hours, you summarize all of the Dhamma that people need to know, and you link all the Dhamma together. Because people don't understand, they cannot follow, they liabok you, they don't know what I share. But when you understand, it's so different. Those who understand, oh, they listen. The so-called Dhamma talk, how much Dhamma is inside that talk? You go and find out yourself. The true Dhamma, I'm not talking about Dhamma knowledge. The words may be there, all of the words are there, but no real Dhamma. Clear understanding that is applicable to life that can transform the individual. Okay, we have to continue. Where are we? Okay, I think we can continue. Tell me. Read 2.4. The three great Buddhist traditions.
Page 27, 2.4. The three great Buddhist traditions, are they all the same or are they different? Question 3. Are the teachings of our three great Buddhist traditions of Theravada, Mahayana and the Vajrayana all the same or are they different? And Thiel replied,
The essence of the Buddha's teaching, like the Four Noble Truths, which include the Noble Eightfold Path, are essentially all the same for all the three traditions. It is only how they approach it that makes it appear to be very different, because of different commentaries and interpretation of suttas via words and terminologies used, and all these complicate the matter further, as words are subjected to various interpretations. What is more important is not to argue and create any unnecessary and unhealthy divisions and misunderstanding within the various traditions, but instead to have an open mind and avoid all negativity. Make use of whatever is relevant, useful, and suitable for each of us to progress along the path of Dhamma via following the Buddha's advice to the Kalama, as stated in the Kalama Sutta. Harmony, love, and understanding, following the Noble Eightfold Path to resolve all issues amicably, is very important. There is no more negativity.
So the advice is very important. Huh? Harmony, love, and understanding. If whatever you share and teach, if there is no harmony, there is no real Dhamma. The real Dhamma will have a lot of harmony. So harmony, love, and understanding, which is wisdom, following the Noble Eightfold Path to resolve all issues amicably is very important. That is the absence of evil, no more negativity. That's why just now I have a chance to talk to Chi Wei when he went for a bath during the meditation break. It's meant to be. Like finally after the discussion, he initially thanked me, he said he learned so much this time around, very different. Then we share many things. Then I said maybe it's meant to be, because Brother Tim didn't turn up. Because of that, Sui An suggested, why not we look after Chi Wei, Akong? I said, can, very good. Then I sent something already, because he got parami. When we went to Perth, I think a few years back, he invited us over. He was full of faith, sincere with the wife. Did so much thing, so much wholesome. That's why how he came to this retreat also very funny. During the gathering of Kayamita, you remember? Then suddenly I told you, there is this retreat coming. Straight away he registered. Then come on. Then all of a sudden, all this sharing, the understanding becomes so different. Then he asked me, we discuss actually, not a certain thing. Then finally, what I want to share with you is this sentence that I mentioned here. Harmony, love, and understanding following Noble Eightfold Path to resolve all issues amicably is very important. That was the final topic I shared with him. I said, whoever who has first noble truth reality, can be health problem, or financial problem, or whatever problem, relationship failure or what. How do you overcome it? How do you overcome it? Most people will want, when you have first number two reality haunting you, confronting you, you become fearful, you panic, you react, you don't know what to do. Then you try to seek answer. You go to everywhere to find help. But what did the Buddha say? What did the Buddha teach? Actually, very few people understand. So I gave him an analogy which I used to give to Kayamita. I said, when you have a problem, let's say this is the problem. Can be financial problem, health problem, or whatever. This one is tormenting you. causing you suffering, fear, worry, anxiety, misery. You know what is human beings' approach? Those who are not enlightened, not cultivated, thought-based on. They will hold on to this problem now. And you know what they say? This is my problem. They worry about it. They panic over it. They become miserable over it. And yet, what is the teaching you heard commonly outside? Let go lah. Listen up. They know how to say let go or not. But who want to let go? The one that is having problem, don't have the wisdom, want to let go. Without wisdom, with sakayatiti, can you let go? You cannot. You will attach, you will cling, you will grab. Yeah. So what happened is, according to the Buddha's teaching, how do you solve all this first noble two reality problem? How? What must you do? Did the Buddha say, hold on to it? Yeah? Worry about it. The moment you hold means what? It's really tormenting you, like burning you. It will continue to torment you. Yeah? But you say, don't hold. Don't hold is not letting go. No. Don't hold is an advice. No. Because it's burning you. Understand, no? Can't you see? So don't hold. Put it down. Yeah. When you hold, it's tormenting you. You develop fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. All these are negative mind state that can never help you solve your problem. So when you understand, you see things as they are, you accept the reality, then be at peace with it. Then what happens? You no longer hold, it no longer torments you, understand? No longer cause suffering to you. Then you have clarity of mind. Then you ask yourself, what happened? Then you can actually ask yourself, based on what happened, how can I resolve this amicably so that I can move on with my life, so that I can overcome this problem? But most Buddhists, even so-called cultivator or whatever, they don't know how to approach it from the Dhamma understanding that the Buddha has taught. As we all know, what is the fourth noble truth? Noble Eightfold Path. Yeah. You cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. So when you apply Noble Eightfold Path, you will not be deludedly holding on to all these things. Yet the Buddha said, no amount of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation can help you. The only thing that can help you is mindfulness, awareness, wisdom, and understanding. So Noble Eightfold Path, what is the first path factor? Eh? You must have right view, which is right understanding, to accept the reality of what happened. Isn't it? So what is the first right view? Law of karma. You are born of your karma, heir to your karma, condition and supported by your karma. You are what you are because of karma. Which means whatever arises and happens, that is the reality. There are causes and conditions behind. And it's related to what? Most of the time, it's coming. So if I know it's karma, I accept this reality, I'm at peace. My mind no longer reacts, stirs. And I no longer blame people. Become emotional, angry, fearful, reactive. Then I have clarity of mind. Then I ask, what happened? How can I develop the understanding to resolve all this amicably? Yeah. So this is the inquiry that will help you. Then they say, the Buddha said, Noble Eightfold Path, I have right view. Okay, now I have right view. I accept, I'm at peace, I no longer blame, I no longer hold, I no longer get agitated, I no longer panic. Then my mind settled down, composed, clarity, calm. Then I ask myself, what happened? Health problem also say, financial problem also say. I only have to resolve it, isn't it? How can I resolve it amicably? So the Buddha's second Noble Eightfold Path is what? Right view leading to right thought, isn't it? Right speech, right action, and right livelihood, isn't it? Then the four right effort, right sati, and right samadhi. Means noble eightfold path are noble quality, which is without evil, without negativity. The absence of evil is what noble eightfold path is all about. That's why I wrote here, no more negativity. So if you know how to develop harmony, harmony means I resolve it amicably so that nobody gets hurt. Then I have love, I have compassion, wisdom, understanding. Then I follow this Noble Eightfold Path to arise the appropriate right speech, right action, yeah, and right thought process to conduct myself so that I can resolve it amicably. If I need to ask for forgiveness, I ask for forgiveness, understand? If I need to resolve all this amicably, I just do what is needed, like health problem or financial problem. If I know it's health problem, come from karma, what is it that you have to do, the Buddha's advice? You need to ask for forgiveness, you ask for forgiveness, isn't it? Correct or not? Then do the repentance. Repentance means what? After I ask for forgiveness sincerely, from whomsoever, from the distant past until now, then I will move on by committing myself not to arise all this karmic negativity again in the future. Understand? So you vow from now onward to heed the advice of the Buddha, to avoid all evil by keeping the precept, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path quality to develop wholesomeness. Understand? Not? Then to purify my mind, to develop wisdom. If I follow this, I got no more problem. My problem resolved. So when you do that, the karmic offense or the karmic obstruction, they get either broken down or resolved or watered down. So because of that, then only you can have the causes and conditions to recover. Otherwise, the karmic obstruction obstruct you, you cannot see. Nobody can help you. Everything is obstructed. Then you have to go through suffering. But when you ask for forgiveness, like in our society, when you have misunderstanding with somebody, then you suddenly decide, okay, I want to be frank with him. I want to ask for forgiveness. You go and tell him, I'm really sorry for what happened. I think it's my mistake. You know what happened to that guy? He will also turn down and say, don't worry, small matter. I also at fault. Resolve, isn't it? So the way you approach is very important. Through sincerity, through understanding, through love, through compassion. So all this is the application. So when you do that, you cultivate merits, wholesomeness. There you follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind, following Noble Eightfold Path. When you do that, your merits develop. Then after that, you invoke power of merit for causes and conditions for you to recover from your health problem. Then condition will arise for you to meet the right people who advise you, and you will get healed, or you will meet the right doctor, right specialist. Understand? Not? Even financial problems, somehow it get resolved. So that one you can ask, where is our Jared? Not around. Maybe I share a little bit, but don't go and ask him. He last night also went through life situation quite bad. And he, during the crisis time, he got into problem until he end up having financial problem or something. And it's big number. Cannot resolve. It's not about a few hundred thousand or whatever. It's many zero at the back. But somehow after he learned the Dhamma, he followed the Dhamma way, and he had faith. You know what he told me? He said somehow all this resolve, all the debt, everything also clear. That's why he keep on visiting me almost every year, telling me, "Brother, this is really amazing. This is really fantastic." He got a lot of this life experience. So it can be done. Evil power of merits for forces and conditions to turn around. So whatever first noble truth problem, you can resolve it. Okay, time for dinner. The alarm ring already. So we stop here. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect, then we go down.